Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the friends and family I see gathered here in your name. And Lord, we love you. And help us to understand that you are worthy. Help us to put everything else aside. This isn't no one else's time. This is your time. And so, Father, help us to put our mind on you. Help us lift our hearts to you and our words and praise. You've called us out to be your choir. It's time for us to sing. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stronger, more than any other.
He's our Messiah. He's our Redeemer. That's it. That's why we praise Him. Everything rests on Him, by the way. Don't worry about Him. He's got broad enough shoulders. He can handle it. The weight of the world, the weight of the sin of the world is on His shoulders. He can handle it. He didn't ask us to worry for Him and to wonder about it. He said, trust Him. Just trust Him. He is the Redeemer. He can do it. He's Jesus, and we just praise Him. Right, choir? Y'all warmed up yet? Are y'all warmed up? All right, come on. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Man, that always lands on me hard. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Reminds me of the line that says, I owed a debt I could not pay. And He paid the debt He did not owe. And I don't know how the rest of it goes. It just reminds me of, oh, how great a debtor I am to His grace. Isn't it awesome? Let's praise Him from a heart that's been set free from grace. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
You were condemned.
What's up, big man? You all right? He's like, big fella up front's like, why is that guy talking to me? All right. 90s class, are we breaking? 90s class, ready, break. Break. They're not breaking. They're not breaking. Oh. I don't know if anybody got that. I made handouts. I don't know if anybody got them. They were sitting on that thing out there. Might not know. You did get some. Says yes, Lord, on it. All right, we all can test me. It's a test to see if I really, you know, if I remembered what it is I'm supposed to be preaching, stuff like that. Because apparently I grabbed everyone one but myself. But y'all, this is, I was in a meeting and I was listening to a lady share her testimony. And she said, some folks came to my school when she was in junior high. Some folks came and they came from all different lives and all different circumstances. And they said some had been wrapped up in drugs. Some had been single mamas who got, you know, had babies when they were teenagers and all this stuff. But the one thing they all had in common was at some point in their life, Jesus got a hold of them. And that whatever kind of things they had going on seemed to got, you know, Jesus got them through all those things. Okay? He worked all those things out. And they all shared their testimony. And this is what the lady said that caught my attention. She said, that's when I said, yes, Lord. That's when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Said all these people were sharing their testimonies. And she said, and I gave my life to Christ. And she just put it that way. And she said, I said, yes, Lord. And that captured my mind. Man, I couldn't help but think the most important and the most exciting sentence that can be uttered by a human face is, yes, Lord. I mean, there's nothing that's more substantial than being approached by the Creator of the universe, whether through a testimony or through the Word, through an invitation, and saying in response to that, yes, Lord. It changes your eternal destination. The Bible tells us there are two places where people end up after the judgment. It says there's a judge, there's a time for judgment, there's a time we all face that. Those who say, yes, Lord, go to one place. And those who don't go to another. I don't know how it could be any more important than that. But then I thought about this. I can't think about how it could be any more exciting than saying, yes, Lord. It's amazing what happens in our life when we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll go. Yes, Lord, I'll pray. Yes, Lord, I'll teach. Yes, Lord, I'll give. Yes, Lord, whatever it is, I'm going to take my yes and I'm going to put it on the table and say, yes. Because I trust you. Things can get pretty exciting then. People might say, well, they're out of my control. Well, you're probably a boring person anyways. You might as well give up a little bit of control and have a little fun in your life and say, yes, Lord. And see where He might take you and where you might go and who you might meet. It gets pretty exciting when you say, yes, Lord. It might be a little scary. But do you ever wonder why so many people go to amusement parks and ride roller coasters and things? Or why so many people line up to see scary movies? Because there's a little bit of excitement in all that stuff. When you yield control of your life over to God, it might be a little scary, but I can tell you something. He knows how to take care of those things that are committed to Him. He knows how to take care of us. So we're going to look at a fella. We're going to look at maybe a few folks. And I hope during this time you'll take a look at yourself too. And you'll ask, have I said yes, Lord? Have I just said yes? Let me say this on the outset. I can't make it in my mind any simpler. We've been talking about how to be saved. We've been talking about how to do these things. And this is where I feel like God has said, John, we need to take it and we need to put it right down, right in the face of everybody and say, this is how simple it is. We just say yes. When the Lord says, have you seen what my Son has done for you? And do you understand what it means when you put your faith in Him? We just say, yes. Will you put your faith in Him? Will you follow Him? And we say, yes. You don't got to understand how it's going to work out. You don't got to understand how God's going to forgive you all them nasty things you thought, said, and did. You don't got to work about, you know, solving all the problems of the world and figure out how you're going to give up hunting or fishing or this or that. I ain't asking you to do anything except for consider who Jesus is and say yes. I don't know. I can't think of it being any simpler. One of the people I talked to you about, and I don't know if they're in this room. They are. Great day in the morning. I'm going to tell his story, and he's sitting right there. And he can get mad at me later. He's kind of an anonymous fellow, but that's okay. He was sitting in a church service. His name's Rick, and I'll just let y'all figure out who that is from there. But he was sitting in a church service, and the preacher was preaching about Jesus being saved and said, you just need to say yes. And out of the middle of a packed church house, he was sitting in the middle, and he said, yes, Lord! And man, I believe that's when he got saved. I believe that's when he believes he got saved. God did a work in his life. That's my dad, by the way, who I'm talking about. It's just pretty cool. Yeah. God saves people, and we say yes. You know, the dude I want to talk to you about, though, I can only imagine what he was thinking. He was listening to Jesus teach. He's in a big crowd of people. And Jesus is teaching about the good soil and the seed. He's teaching about the kingdom of heaven. And this guy, he knew for a fact, he didn't have no place. He was of no account. But he was hearing things and learning things about the kingdom of heaven. They were just awesome. And Jesus was telling him, he's saying, man, it was like a sower went out with seed. He had good seed. And he threw some of that seed on the wayside. He threw some of that seed on the rocky soil. He threw some of that seed where there was weeds. And he threw some of that seed where it was good soil. And it sprouted up and grew a crop. And this guy, he was sitting there listening. Just attentive. Wow, this is pretty awesome. Because by that time, he had already said yes to Jesus. And he had been following him. And it was so exciting because nobody thought to tell this guy spiritual things before. Nobody was investing in this guy, talking to him about the kingdom of heaven because he didn't seem like a whole lot of anybody. But he got to a point where he knew how blessed he was to be hearing the things he was hearing about the kingdom of God from the Son of God. That eventually God tapped him on the shoulder and said, I want you to write about this, son. And he did. The person I'm talking about, his name, his given name at birth was Levi. I always like to say that because I got Levi and I figure that's a good name. You know, a good name, give that name out. But we know him better as Matthew. And he was the man who God tapped to write the Gospel of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, the big old gospel that deals with Jesus being the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of the Jews, the one that deals with the fulfillments of the Old Testament, finding their home and their place in Christ. It's this guy. And do you know who he was before he said yes to Jesus? Do you know what kind of man he was before he said yes to Jesus? What kind of man was he? Do y'all know? We'll talk about it, but here's what you need to know. He was just a plain old sinner like you and me. He's just a plain old sinner like you and me. We're going to read his story. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to read it, and then I'll pray, and then we'll talk about it. Matthew chapter 9, starting verse 9. It says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Jesus said, follow me. And Matthew got up, and he followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? I just got to pause for a second. It makes me think, why is he still eating with tax collectors and sinners? Why is he still eating with people that don't have nothing to do with being goody-two-shoes, religious stuff? Why is he still doing that? We'll answer that in a minute. This is because he's that way. Verse 12 says, to save them. That's exactly right. And that's what he says. On hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come before you and just to hear your word. Thank you, Lord, that the earbud's not in my ear and I can hear your word equally out of both ears now. And Father, I just pray that as we look at your word, that we'll be inspired, that we'll understand that whoever we think we are, just on our own, with our own resources, time, strength, intelligence, talents, it's nothing compared to who we are when we say, yes, Lord. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us. No matter where we stand with you, that we would say, yes, Lord. And we just lay that on the table. Father, we give you all the praise. And we love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to tell you about this guy named Matthew. We know, we say he's a tax collector. And we don't really think highly of tax collectors now. If somebody said, well, what do you do? And they said, well, I work for the IRS and I come. And we'd kind of be like, oh, that's nice. But we wouldn't hold a grudge. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily real personal. But you got to put yourself back in the time when this was written. Matthew was a Jewish man collecting taxes for a Roman government that had control over Israel. That'd be like if we were under control of the Canadian government, which is just hard to believe, but just imagine it for a second, you know, and the Canadians was running the show, and the American people was collecting money from other American people to give it to Canada. We might have a grudge about that. You know, if we was patriotic and we were thinking to ourselves, you're kind of a traitor, you're no good. Now, you add on that, it doesn't say that Matthew did this, but it was very common for those who were tax collectors to take a little bit of taxes for them, for the government, a little bit, you know, aside for them, and a little bit for them, and a little bit for them. They were known as being cheats. We remember Zacchaeus. Do you remember that song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. I can't remember. More tree, because the Lord he wanted to see. And the Lord said, Zacchaeus, come down, because I'm going to eat at your house. So, but that when Jesus got into Zacchaeus' house, and I'm glad for everybody who went to VBS 20 years ago, you know, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, would sing that song. Zacchaeus started confessing. He says, man, I've stole from people. I've stole from people. He was a tax collector. He said, I stole from them. He said, but I'm going to turn back fourfold what I stole. You know, he had this moment of repentance. I just bring that story up to say Matthew was in that same kind of business. We don't know that he was crooked, but we know he had enough money to throw a big old party. You know, and so he was that, people didn't like him. Y'all, do you invest in people that you don't like? Do you reckon the rabbis, the teachers, the spiritual men, the gurus, all these folks were at all coming and say, hey, there's Matthew. Hey, man, can I tell you something good about God? Why don't you come to the Bible study? Have you been to the synagogue lately? I haven't seen you there. They didn't give a hoot about him. He probably gotten to the point where he didn't give much a hoot about them either. You ever know folks like that? They're like, man, church folks don't want to see me, and I don't much care if I don't see church folks because it just don't work for me. They, you know, it's just different. It's like they're on that plane, and I'm on this plane, and it just don't work. That's probably how Matthew was. Nobody was investing in Matthew. Nobody cared about Matthew. Nobody wanted Matthew on their team. Nobody was going to say, hey, man, guess what? Matthew came over to our place. You mean Matthew the tax collector? Yeah. You mean Matthew the guy who's probably stealing people's money? Yeah. You mean Matthew the unpatriotic, betraying dude? Yeah, I guess that's so. He wasn't a catch. That's what people on the outside would have said. What do you think Matthew was saying on the inside? He was saying a lot of that I hear a lot of people say, saying they're not worthy. I'm not worthy to follow this guy. I'm not worthy to learn those things. I'm not worthy to walk into the synagogue. Man, I hear that people say, oh, if I walk into church, it'll burn down. What do you think we made this place out of? Matchsticks and stuff, it's going to hold up. Oh, I just don't belong in that building. This building is a building. It ain't nothing. And the God who created you in his own image. He loves you. And he ain't going to crumble just because of your sin. He knows your sin and he loves you still. But I hear all the people all the time counting themselves out. I couldn't do this. I couldn't go there. They've counted themselves out. They're not worthy. I don't know how many times I've heard that. Well, I'm not worthy. I've been married and divorced too many times. I'm not worthy because I'm an addict. Sometimes in recovery, sometimes in relapse, sometimes active. I can't do this because I'm foul-mouthed. I can't do this because I ain't got the right clothes to wear. I'm not worthy because I watch bad things on my computer, on my phone. I can't do this because I'm all kinds of bad. Let me tell you, don't count yourself out. If Jesus comes calling, don't give him reasons why you can't go. Just say, yes, Lord. Because ultimately, that's what this guy did. Now look, his tax booth was in Capernaum. Or Capernaum, whatever. I've been there. It's kind of a neat little place. Still got the synagogue floor in there you can walk on. The same one that Jesus walked on. It's old, old, old. So, but you know what? Jesus was doing all kinds of things in Capernaum. Matthew had been hearing all kinds of things. He might not have known Jesus personally, but he had been hearing about him. In the Gospel of Mark, it says, in that town, they brought a paralytic man, and they couldn't get to him, so they dug a hole in the roof, and they lowered that dude down, and Jesus healed the dude and said, take up your bed and walk. And all the Pharisees said, you can't tell them to do that. It's the Sabbath day. And they said, blah, 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 religion, religion, blah, 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 blah. And Jesus said, what's easier to say, take up your bed or son, your sins are forgiven you? He says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man can forgive sins. And I wonder if that message got back to Matthew. I wonder if the fact that Jesus forgives sins came back to Matthew, because Jesus walked by him. Matthew would have had probably Roman soldiers around him. You ever see when somebody's taking the payroll and they're taking it over the bank and they get like a guard to follow them? You ever see that? Somebody, you know, whenever you got to have a lot of money, you got to have a gun. You know what I'm saying? It's like the Old West. You got to have a gun. Well, there probably would have been a couple Roman soldiers right there by Matthew, because he had money and all this stuff laid out, collecting all these things. And next thing you know, Jesus says, hey, come follow me. And all we know is it says immediately he got up and just followed him. He said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And he just got up and left. Left the money. Left his responsibility. Doesn't seem to give a two-week notice to Caesar. Hey, Caesar, I'll be leaving in 2 weeks. You might want to think about replacing me, you know, over here at the Capernaum office. And just got up and left. Y'all, I believe when we're in our right mind, we understand how compelling it is to find the one who can forgive our sins. And when he says, follow me, we just say yes. Now, look. That was important for Matthew. But I want to tell you how exciting it happened. He turned into the party apostle. Y'all see this? As soon as it happened, he said, man, I'm going to call all my friends. I don't know how he did it back then. You know, it didn't. Hey, man. Hey. Jonah and Alpheus and Morpheus. I don't know who all was there. And John and Bobby and Sue. Y'all come on down. What are we going to do? Man, we're going to have, there's a rabbi, there's a teacher, he's not like anybody else. Have you been hearing? Have you heard about the guy? And they're on the other line. Yeah. And they literally stand with their hand like this because they haven't got phones back then. But anyway, they're like, yeah. Yeah, we've heard about him. Well, he's coming to my house tonight. They probably said, no way he's coming to your house. Why don't you think he's coming to my house? Because Matthew, you're a sinner, man. No, he's coming to my house to eat with me and my friends. He ain't coming to your house because he's a sinner. And they had a hard time probably even believing. How can a guy like that hang out with people like us? He said, just come and see. Come on. He was Jewish, but he probably was having a pig roast because he was just that kind of Jew. You know what I'm saying? He just didn't follow the rules. And so he had this going on, and they probably all got there, and they're waiting for Jesus. And Jesus, he just piles in, man. He just piles in there. And I imagine they're all like, people like you, Jesus. You don't hang out with people like me, like us. And I think Jesus said, y'all just don't understand at all. I've come for people like you. I've come for you. They probably said, no one's ever come for us. My mama don't send me Christmas presents anymore. course, this was before Christmas, but you know what I'm saying. She don't even remember my birthday because I'm a tax collector. How is it that you have so much care and so much love? And he says, it's part of my mission. Of course, the religious folks got onto him. Y'all remember? It says right here, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus heard it. Jesus had that super, he's just got Messiah, Son of God hearing, you know? And they tried to whisper it. Look at, he's eating with all those tax collectors and sinners. Jesus said, it's not the healthy people need a doctor, it's the sick people, and I've come to save the sick. I've come to save the sinners, not the self-righteous, not those who are just off there on their own thinking they got it all together. I've come after those ones who have fallen apart, whose cheese is sliding off their cracker. They're kind of wobbly-kneed, kind of weird. Anybody relate to that in here? I'm going to tell you, I believe this. When we're honest, we understand that we've all sinned. And from God's perspective, we all need a Savior. And you might act like you have your stuff together, but you don't. Because God is the judge, not me. This isn't Jerry Springer righteousness. You know what Jerry Springer righteousness is? It's when you feel bad about yourself and you turn on Jerry Springer and say, phew, things could be worse. That is not how God judges. He's the standard, not these shows and things like that. You might be better than 99% of everybody else, but that don't make you right with God. And we need to know that so that we can ask God for help. And when we hear about that Savior who says, come on, we'll say yes. So here's, we got who Matthew is. He's a sick, needy sinner who had been very much isolated. Let's go over back to the scenario, kind of where we began. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is teaching about those souls. Jesus is teaching about what's going on. And then right around in verse 16, look at there. I'm doing pretty good not having a flyer thing. Right around verse 16, he's going to start talking about the reality of what it means to be hearing him and seeing him. This is what he says. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Don't you know that Matthew was nodding his head? Yep, I get it. I understand it. And this is where I want to start crossing over into our world. I hope you understand that the gospel of Christ that we sang in most of those songs, that he was forsaken but we were accepted, that he who knew no sin became sin for us. I hope you understand that if you see that and you hear that, you are blessed. If you're seeing it and you're hearing it, you're in the position of the blessing. You're under the preaching of the Word of God. You're in the place of blessing, just like Matthew was. And you're not here because you're worthy. You're not here because you've done and outdone everybody else. That's not why you get to hear about the kingdom. It's because God simply graced us and has blessed us. And I imagine Matthew was sitting there at Jesus' feet when he's teaching about the seeds and the soil, and he's sitting there going, oh, wow, this is awesome. This is awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for telling me your story. Thank you for telling me the truth of the kingdom. No one was talking to me. No one was telling me things. I was just a tax collector set off to the side and isolated and thought lowly of, but you are teaching me these things. Oh, Christ community, we're seeing some beautiful things. We're seeing some awesome things. We're hearing some awesome things. And we ought to be, I think, just like Matthew and just be amazed. Wow. Lord, thank you. What a grateful spirit it ought to generate in us. We're like, Lord, tell me more. Show me more. Help me out. Let me see more. Let me have a microphone that'll stay clipped to my shirt, Lord. I need to get a better shirt. I'm wearing my t-shirt today, and when I wear buttons, it stays on better. Just note to self. But anyways, every once in a while, you got to throw on a Christ Community t-shirt. We are in the place of blessing. We are not disadvantaged by I love Christ. Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. It doesn't matter what your sins are or were. It doesn't matter what your finances are or were. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter. Man, we are in the place where God is gathering up His kingdom and He's telling us things. And it's so beautiful. I hope that your ears have been open. I hope your eyes have been open and you're going, yes, Lord, this is awesome for us to be here. It's such a great thing. Help me to focus on Jesus. Matthew was sitting there and he heard Jesus say this, I tell you the truth. Many people, better men than you, Matthew, he could have said, better men than you, better folks than us, have longed to know the truth about the kingdom of God, but God chose to do things in our midst that He hadn't done anywhere else or doesn't do everywhere else. Man, it is not about us being better. It's about God being gracious. And all we ought to focus on the Lord. So let's look at His teaching. We're going to look at where He explains it starting in verse 18. And He's going to talk about these four responses. The seed is the message of the kingdom. The seed is the gospel message. Okay? And He's going to explain these four responses. Somewhere in here is going to be your response. You've heard the word. We sang this morning in particular. There was such a gospel strong message in the song. Mr. Johnny's been saying something about a revival that he heard about. And he was talking about how people were getting saved before the preaching even started. And I can tell you why. If the songs were preaching the gospel, the information was there. And that's part of how that warms the heart up and it gets you ready. And who knows, you know, that God didn't work right through that music. But you listen to these responses. Verse 18. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. So this is the seed that fell along the path. Can I tell you, even in this place, I believe there's some folks who are here who are meaning their best. They're well-meaning in being here. They're here sincerely. And yet the word is not penetrating. It's just kind of hitting them in the face like water. You know, you get hit in the face with water by a squirt gun, it don't penetrate your skin, it don't go in, it just bounces off. And I believe that even in this place, there's folks who are gathered here and they just don't know why. And the word's just not sinking in. Can I tell you, part of the reason for that is a demonic influence. And I'm not trying to be weird or goofy or any other thing, but I'm going to tell you, the devil don't want people turning to God and saying, yes, Lord. And he'll cause insecurities, he'll cause fears, he'll cause prejudices, he'll cause you to shut down your brain and not hear the word, okay? And that might even be happening here with some. I don't know, but I know this. Some folks, even though the seed is peppered on, we could put it in a machine gun and shoot them with the word, it's just not going to make a difference. It's going to plop out. Okay? It's just going to land on the surface and not make any headway. If you are in a place where you don't understand, you say, I just don't get it. What I'm going to ask you to do is just pray and say, Lord, open my heart. Open my mind. Father, protect me from the influence of the evil one so that I might understand. Because God's got some great things for you, and you don't want to continue going on not understanding the word, not knowing why songs like we sang can bring such joy, not understanding those things. You want to understand it. You want to be able to say yes. Pray, God, open me up. Open me up. The next one, this next response, was those who was on the rocky soil. It says, the seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. There's folks, there's some even in here, and it might be some of us, who we say, wow, that is good. I like that. And when we start thinking about it and talking about it, thinking about what God might do in our lives, they start crawfishing back. I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready for all that. And somebody says, you one of them now? You go, look, it's okay to go to church. I had a man tell me this. His dad said, it's okay to go to church, but don't you become a fanatic. Don't you become a fanatic. Don't drink the Kool-Aid they're serving. Keep your wits about you now. Don't be all in. And we start thinking, ooh, maybe that, wait a minute, you know, I respect the people that told me that. Maybe I need to back off a little bit. Maybe I need to back out. Maybe I need to wonder about what's going on. And we stay like fence riding. There's a guy who tried to climb the fence to get out of the football game last week, and he hurt himself. And I ain't going to talk no more about it, but I just had to get it out of my brain. But I'll just say this, fence riding, dangerous, dangerous, painful. Don't want to be a fence rider, okay? Bad, bad, bad. So, but when persecution or trouble comes, they say, it was almost like there was planned. Like, I like what you're saying, but I don't want to be, you know, they're just too cautious. And when trouble comes, they back out. The next one says that response are those who worry. These are the folks who are in control. And they ain't never going to yield control. It says the worries of life and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word. So, in other words, it's like they're doing this. I'll take Jesus, and I'm going to add them to all the other things that I'm doing. And I'm going to just, you know, when I need Jesus, I'm going to call on him. When I don't, when I need to take care of all the other stuff, we'll just leave Jesus over here, and I'm going to take care of business, and I'm going to do this. And then, oh, it's Sunday. Okay, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, it's Monday. Back in control, going back to my routine, doing my old thing. Y'all, that's not, the Son of God didn't travel from heaven to earth, and from the earth to the cross, and the cross to the grave, and the grave to the sky, for us to be running things on our own without him. It's too far, it's too much. That's not what he's came to do. And it says, that response, all three of those responses, the not understanding, the crawfishing away when it gets hard or there seems to be trouble, and the worries and the deceit, the control freaks, none of those are fruitful. That's what the Bible says. They're not fruitful. So even if you say, Lord said, follow me. Matthew followed him, but I'm going to say, maybe. I'm going to say, I'll follow you to such and such a place. I'll follow you so far, I'll follow you for so long, but not everything. Those are unfruitful responses to God. There's only one fruitful response. He gives it here. He says, there is that sorrow, but the seed fall on good soil refers to someone who hears the word, understands it, and this one who produces a crop. And it's yielding 100, 60, and 30 times. It's a multiplying response. That's where the fun is. And I don't know how else to say it. That's the people who've just said, yes, Lord. Just a blank check, yes, Lord. I believe you created me. I believe you gave your son to save me. I got no reason to hold back anything from you. No reason to hold back anything from you in any area of my life. Why would I? What do I have that God hasn't provided? Right now, the breath that I'm breathing, God's given it to me. Can I tell you I'm so happy that Matthew, a tax collecting slime ball, got saved because he said yes to Jesus and he wrote this big old beautiful gospel and became a disciple who won. Who knows how many people have been won to Christ through the gospel of Matthew? Who knows how many people have launched out on a mission reading, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. For lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age, which is in the Gospel of Matthew. You shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Gospel of Matthew. I'm glad Matthew said, yes, Lord. Aren't you? Can I tell you, there's so many different people. There's folks who some of y'all may know and may not know. There's a man, last name of Booth. And at some point, God got a hold of him. He was a believer, but God said he was walking through the streets and he saw people who were threadbare clothes, close to naked, no blankets, and it was cold. They were shivering. Some were dying. Some were starving. And he said, something needs to be done in the name of Jesus. And it was like Jesus called him out and said, you need to raise up an army to go tell people how to get saved. And in the meantime, bring them some clothes too. And that dude went out and God used him to start the Salvation Army, who brought clothes and brought food and brought the gospel to people who otherwise wouldn't see it or hear it. And you might be saying, oh, that's kind of interesting. It was real interesting to me because when I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, the Salvation Army was close enough for my mom and I to walk to, and we didn't have a car to drive. So we went there and got the clothes for quarters a sack full because we needed them. And I'm thankful that somebody said, yes, Lord, and followed him in that. Way on back, we can go way on back. I don't know if y'all ever been to a hospital, but you know, somebody following the Lord said, we ought to take care of six people and put them up and have a place for them. One of the dude's names was Basil, which sounds like something you sprinkle on spaghetti. But he was in the place of Caesarea. He was a bishop or an archbishop or some kind of goofy, crazy title. But he said, you know what? The church ought to be using its influence to help people who need it. And there's been a great tradition of charity amongst Christian people because they've said, yes. The YMCA was started by Christian people who said, yes. It's not in there anymore. The Red Cross was started by people, Christian people who said, yes, Lord. It's amazing what the people of God can do when they have their yes on the table. And that's just talking about people who have done that. What about preachers and things? You know, Billy Graham wasn't always in, but there was a time when he said, yes, Lord, and the gospel got all the way around everywhere. There's people who stood up for people who didn't have a voice, and it wasn't ever easy. If y'all have never heard the preaching of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you ought to hear it, because he's a fine preacher. And he wasn't well accepted in his time, not by anybody. But he went around, he preached the gospel. A lot of people say, well, he wasn't perfect. Well, neither are you, dingy. And I'm going to tell you what it is. When we don't do things because we're not perfect, I call that two things, cowardice and idolatry. It's cowardice because we won't put ourselves up under the scrutiny of people to find out that we're not perfect. It's idolatry because we make our goodness higher than God's calling. And whenever you make anything that's higher than God's calling, you're an idolater. I'm going to tell you something. There's no proclaimer of the gospel that's perfect. There's no missionary that's perfect. There's no Bible school teacher, Sunday school teacher that's perfect. But there are those who through faith in Christ have said, yes, Lord. And that's where it just comes down to, what will you say? What will you say? I'm going to have two invitations. It's just at one time, but two things I want you to think about. Number one, if you've never said yes, Lord, to a relationship with Jesus Christ, would you say that today? Would you just say yes, Lord? Put your yes on the table. Don't try to figure out how he's going to do it. Stop overthinking everything. Stop trying to control everything. If you understand what I'm saying that you're a sinner, that Christ died for your sins, he rose from the dead on the third day, and he'll save all those who put their faith in him if you say yes, Lord. If you understand that, and you need to do that, let today be your day. Say yes, Lord. The next thing I want you to, the next part of it is this. If you are a person, and God's been calling you, whether it's to teach, preach, give, or go, pray, whatever it is, or if God hasn't called you to anything specific at this point, but you know that he has something for you, you just don't know what it is yet, but you're ready, I'm going to call you to say, yes, Lord. Just say, yes, Lord. Let them know you're ready. Let them know that you hear. I was in a prayer meeting. Man, it was good. And can I tell you, this past Wednesday in prayer meeting was good at Christ Community Church. And we were in a prayer meeting the Monday, 2 days before that, and it was good. And I heard a man say, Lord, whatever it is you want, whatever it is you want from me, yes, I'm ready. Didn't even know what it would be. He just said, yes, I'm ready. Maybe you were in that place. You don't know exactly what it's going to be, but you just want to express your yes to God. Take this time and do it. If you need to come up here, come up here. If you want me to pray for you, I'll pray for you. But whatever it is, say yes, Lord. It's the most important and the most exciting thing you'll ever say. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving sinners like us. Thank you for loving Matthew. Thank you for using him in the way you did. Father, thank you for all these folks. Thank you for the people who shared the gospel with us. I thank you for the man who shared the gospel with me and said, yes, Lord, I'll share it. Yes, Lord, I'll say it. Thank you, Father, for how you've done these things. And now I pray for all of us that we would consider where we are, who we are in you, and we would just say, yes, Lord. For the ones who haven't said yes, the ones who've not said yes to a living, life-giving, born-again relationship with you, Father, I pray that now would be their time, that today would be their day, that they would say, yes, Lord. Father, for that scared church member clinging to a religious experience, not sure what you might require of them, and they're freaked out, Father, I pray that you would move them to say, yes, Lord. To the one who's battling with addiction and is just overwhelmed, to the one who's in debt up to their eyeballs, to the one whose marriage is broke, to the one whose marriages have been broken. And Father, I pray that they would say, yes, Lord, because you're calling them. To the ones who think they can't, but you know they can, I pray that they would say, yes, Lord, and they would trust your vision over their feelings about themselves. Do what you got to do with us. Our yes is on the table. Lord, we love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You respond to God how he'd have you respond.
But it's as simple as saying yes.
Just say yes. Look, remember, God's always moving. Keep those two things in mind about what God's doing. Saying yes to God in relationship to Him. Saying yes to God in service to Him. And who knows what it might be. But Randy just came forward and he said, man, I think I want to join this church. And so we said we'd take him, but that just reminded me, we receive membership through a membership class, okay? If you're interested in that, we're going to plan one. We're going to have one in October. We have a whole what's called life development process. It goes from membership to maturity to ministry and to missions, okay? And we're going to set up our next class coming up is September 9th. And it's going to be a 401 missions class. Now, we're also starting some other things at that time. There's a experiencing God. I can't even say anything anymore. Experiencing God class starting on September 9th also. But we're going to have a membership class in October, and we'll let you know about that. But if God's leading you to join Christ Community Church, let me know. We'll take a list, and we'll have that written down. Some other folks have let me know. Paul Mitchell let me know. I don't know if I was supposed to tell, and Deb, you know, I don't know if I was supposed to say anything about that. Hey, rewind the tape and scratch that off. And but y'all, maybe that's part of what God's calling you to do that you need to say yes to. I don't know, but I know this. God is good, and no matter who you are and where you came from, He'll receive you. And God's made us that church to where we've said, no matter who you are and where you come from, we're going to receive you too. We love you, okay? Jamie's going to share with us some important things, and he's going to do that now. Do it now.
Okay, on the capital campaign real quick, if you haven't gotten your brochure yet, these guys are going to come up front in a minute and hand those to the people that didn't get them. Y'all know we've been praying about it the last couple of weeks just as to what God would put on your heart to give. And I can tell y'all some awesome stuff real quick. We've already had some folks walk in and hand money to it. Like somebody walked in and gave a check for $550. Somebody walked in and gave a little over $350. Somebody else has already pledged $2,400. Like, God is already doing stuff through this thing that's really cool, and we haven't even started yet. So if you had that little doubt in your mind, like, we'll never be able to raise this much money, use a lie, because we already are. So don't think for a second that this does not include you. If you can only pledge $5 a month, thank you, Lord, for $60 over the next year, okay? If you can only pledge $1 a month, thank you, Lord, for $12 over the next year, okay? Y'all don't think you have to give $100 million. I mean, you can, but don't think you have to by any stretch of the imagination. This is whatever God puts on your heart, okay? This is for a new building to go out back right there. If you're just now hearing about this, we're going to pave the parking lot, and then the money that remains, we're going to pay on this building right here because Christ Community wants and needs to be debt-free because we feel like that's how God would have us to be. So pray about this. If you didn't get one, my guys are going to come up now, and the ushers are going to come up now to take up the offering. On the inside panel is the pledge card. So you can just tear this out, put whatever you're going to pledge on there, and put it in the offering plate. If you come up during the week, you can give it to Sarah. Okay, so those are the two options. Put it in the offering plate or give it to Sarah. Okay, so the offering plate or Miss Sarah, who's in the kitchen, if y'all turn around and look right behind Gabe. Gabe, point at Miss Sarah. Point at her. There she is, right there with the glasses talking. She has no idea we're talking about her right now, which makes this so funny and great. She's a great lady. She's awesome and wonderful. She does a lot. But give it to her or put it in the offering plate. If you're currently giving to the building fund, just on your check, change it from building fund to capital campaign. That's all you have to do. So instead of building fund, just put capital campaign. Otherwise, you can just put capital campaign on your envelope. Any questions? All right, that's great. Let's pray. Yes, question? I said it quick so nobody would have questions. Yes, I think. But if I didn't, next Sunday is when the giving starts, okay? So, like, you can put your pledge card in with your check next Sunday or anytime in September, obviously. Okay, but we're saying once a month is what we're saying from September to the following September. Or you can give a one-time gift. Give these to business owners. give these to business owners. If you own a business, give it to yourself. Okay, they need tax write-offs, and this is a tax write-off. Okay? Y'all, let's pray, and we'll take the offering up. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word that we heard this morning. Just pray that you would bless the hearts of each person in this place. God, that if they don't know you, they would come to know you. That's more important than anything else that we do. And I pray, God, as we do start raising this money so that we can have more room, so that more people can come to know you, God, that you would put it on the heart of each person what you would have them to give. Lord, bring people in from here, there, and yonder to give, people we don't even know, Lord. And we believe you, we trust you for it, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Woo. Just a reminder, if you serve Christ Community Church, and if God just works through you in any way, shape, form, let me just say thank you. Thank you so much. If you can stay, you know, right around 1 o'clock, we're gonna feed you. Like I said, I made it myself, and you can tell I know something. You know, I say I made it myself. They're still getting. I kind of made it myself. I helped. And so We got chicken, mashed potatoes, and green beans, and yeast rolls, and some stuff like that, and some tea. We got good. It's good stuff, okay? It's going to be good. But if you can't stay, just hear me say this. Thank you so much. There's nothing that we do that God doesn't do through people. Not a person, but through people. And it takes a whole church as a body, as a family, to teach and to reach like what God's doing through us. And I'm just thankful. And I just want to say thank you all. Okay, if you can stay, and we got the food thrown on. If you can't stay, I'll eat your portion. But thank you all the same. Okay, Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. We pray that you continue to do these things through in and around our church that we're seeing that makes our eyes blessed, that we're hearing, that makes our ears blessed, that we know that it's you, it's not because we're worthy, it's just because of you. And Father, we love you. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for letting me be your pastor, and I love you. Ready? Break!